This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Take a trip to another dimension.
You'll never be the same again.
On Sci-Fi and Scream.
On Joy 94.9.
Australia's only LGBTIQ horror and science fiction radio show.
World, two reds coming for you.
Kids of Elm Street don't know it yet, but something is coming to get them.
There's something out there, isn't there?
What did that, Lieutenant?
I don't know.
Tina!
The coroner got to say.
He's in a jar and puking since he saw it.
They're gonna kill me for sure.
Did you do it?
There was somebody else there.
He was locked in a room with a girl who went in alive and came out in a rubber bag.
No one knows where it came from or who it will visit next.
Nancy?
There's something wrong with you. You're imagining things.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Do you believe in the boogeyman?
No.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Another special podcast, especially for the most horrendous month of the year, November 2013. It is a monster of a month, and it's got Monster Fest all over it. Here in Melbourne, it starts on the 21st, runs to the 1st of December, 21st of November, 1st of December. But one of the great things, I think, personally, that is happening through Monster Fest and Nova Cinema is A Nightmare on Ligon Street, a Freddy Krueger marathon. And here to tell us all about this terrible event is Zach Hepburn. Welcome.
Oh, Sonia, good to see you. How are you going?
I mean terrible in a good way.
Well, terrible in a horrible sort of terrible way. But
it's terrible. Yeah, it's torturous for you to do this.
Oh, that's okay. Well, this is something that I've wanted to do for a while. Mm-hmm. Horror marathons are a bit of a halcyon sort of proclamation nowadays. They used to be run all the time, around the 24 hours or whatnot.
Westgarth, blah, blah, but they're all changed hands.
Nowadays it's very tricky to get people out of the house for 12 hours unless you're going to give them something pretty special, and that's what we're hoping to do with the Nightmare on Elm Street Marathon. It's the first time that it's ever sort of been done in a cinema in this country,
really?
to my knowledge.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's something that I've wanted to do for a while. The part of Monster Fest is this is running in conjunction in a way with my cult catastrophe program at Cinema Nova. Mm. So we've sort of joined forces to be able to bring Freddy to the big screen, because it is actually quite difficult to get these larger sort of horror entities on the big screen now, because they've just sort of gone through so many different rights holders. The kind of history has kind of taken its toll on it, and that's why you see the DVDs kind of strewn everywhere, and some are out of print, some are back in box sets, and it's all this sort of like
some are director's cut, some are this edition, that edition.
Exactly.
It's a bit of a rights, one watch.
Exactly. It's a bit of a rights nightmare. So what we thought we'd do is we really wanted to present a marathon that had a nice sort of cohesion for the viewer. So we thought, what better way to do a stay up all night marathon with Freddy Krueger, and you can't fall asleep or you die. So that's the whole idea. You probably won't die, but you may get something written on your forehead.
Exciting.
Who knows?
Got volunteers to do that.
Exactly. But we're really encouraging patrons to come along, and come along in your pajamas. We're going to have a lot of kind of special giveaways.
Don't they call it onesies now?
Onesies, pajamas, throwovers or whatever. If we see any Totoro onesies, they'll be first on Freddy's list. Let's put it that way. We really wanted to give people an event idea, because the marathon is something that you don't get to partake in very often, and we really want to make it something special. So we're going to have a lot of trivia prizes. Each film's going to have a nice little nifty pre-show before it to kind of get you in the idea, and we're probably going to, you should bone up on your Nightmare on Elm Street trivia knowledge, because we're going to have trivia questions before each film.
This is to keep people awake.
This is to keep people awake as well. So you got to, and you know, a lot of sugar is. Yeah. We are going to be funneling sugar through the vents of the cinema.
The caffeine smoke.
Exactly.
Or something.
Yeah, the caffeine wisp. Yeah.
Caffeine wisp. Yeah. I think it's out there actually.
Yeah.
Or at least every time I get into a cab, amongst other things. Well, look, hey, but speaking about, look, you've got the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and number 6.
Yeah.
It must have been hell to get them all together.
Yeah. It's.
How long has it taken you to put this together?
It's taken us about 4 months to be able to kind of rack everything together through the various international rights holders and the different sort of materials that you can get. These are all brand new HD editions of the films.
Okay.
Some of them are from the UK, some are from the USA. They're all the original cuts, so you don't have to worry about them being different. They're all in the proper aspect ratios, they're all in the proper kind of sound, so you have no fear that you're going to be seeing Freddy in his absolute pristine, ugliest glory. The idea was that we wanted to show the original series, so even though New Nightmare, which is unofficially part 7, is a great film in its own right, it kind of came after the initial kind of A Nightmare on Elm Street sort of burst, and we wanted to steer clear of the Platinum Dunes Michael Bay remake, which has its own set of charms, but we were all about the Robert Englund Freddy in its original kind of 80s throwback, early 90s vibe. Being able to see, Nightmare on Elm Street, I saw Nightmare on Elm Street 6 at the cinema when I was a kid, and it was my first exposure to Freddy, and I kind of went retrospectively back and viewed them sort of in a weird sort of like non-chronological order, but we really wanted to present a chronology to the audience so you can kind of see how this kind of idea, which was really fertile and really scary in A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 1, kind of gets filtered down through the MTV generation into what came out as Nightmare on Elm Street 6, Freddy's Dead, which is Freddy playing with the Nintendo Power Glove, and you have the Roseanne Barr cameo, and it becomes a really interesting sort of like historical account of a film series and how it can evolve or de-evolve in some way.
It's a really interesting, symbol of, like you said, up to the MTV generation and the whole journey through the 80s, pretty much. It's pretty much about the 80s, I would say.
We do have Freddy's MTV appearance on screen.
You'll
be able
I've
to get that. We're gonna that'll pop up intermittently throughout the
up.
Exactly. And I'm pretty sure we'll be able to give away some Freddy fright gloves, as they call Freddy them now, as well. So, but it's really just an idea to kind of come along. It's pretty much just like you have a bunch of mates around, chill out, and kind of marathon some stuff. And that's what we want to have. We just want to have some fun. You'll be able to have a few drinks beforehand if you wish, but alcohol service will stop throughout the evening as well.
So
it's just an idea to come, chill out, watch some films, and just kind of, reminisce a little bit. Or if you haven't seen them, it's a great way to see them on the big screen for the first time.
There's a lot there that I haven't seen on the big screen. It's always been VHS or DVDs and, round at a friend's house and sort of like a rites of passage type of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm certainly coming along. It's just a treat for Brendan and I, a fellow sci-fi and screamer and joyster. He's never seen number 2, and I mean, we'll talk about number 2 because that's considered the gay nightmare.
It is in some ways, I think it's I think when they were creating it, I don't think that was the intention, but that sort of
certainly comes out
in a way. And it's interesting, and you look at it and you look, I don't quite understand some of the imagery and some of the kind of subtext you're putting in there. I don't quite know how you couldn't be aware of that when you're making it. But I think, Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 is a really interesting concept in a lot of ways. It deals with Freddy as a sort of inbuilt emotion in a way that gets unleashed in moments of anxiety and panic. And I think that it is an interesting sort of film in a way. It's treating Freddy much more of a mindset versus a kind of, boo hiss kind of horror creature that he became later in the series. But the film itself, Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, Freddy's Revenge, does have some fairly interesting moments. There's a Freddy pool party massacre that pops up towards the end of it. And obviously the central character of Jesse is a young boy sort of like dealing with a lot of conflicting emotions, and he moves into the house where the previous murders occurred,
and things just sort of go a little bit crazy. So it is an interesting one. I think out of all the films, it does have a legacy that lives kind of beyond the Nightmare on Elm Street series.
Yeah, no, I mean, for us, I mean, Sci-Fi and Scream, it was great. We managed to have a contact with Mark Patton, who plays Jesse.
Yeah.
And he said in an email he sent to us that he believed Robert Shea, I believe, as a producer or run New Line at the time, deliberately did want it to be a play on gay context, because he knew that Mark was gay, because Mark was quite fluid about that and open about that. But then he had to go right inside the closet, and according to him, it destroyed his career. He decided Hollywood wasn't his thing anymore because he got tired of being stalked by Robert Shea's henchmen checking up on him to see if he was going to gay clubs, and they didn't want that surrounding the film. But yet he's pretty adamant that Robert actually was
it's
trying to aim at that. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, it's interesting because you look at the on those kind of supplement material that are on the sort of you know, myriad of Blu-ray releases or DVD releases, and the writer and the director are saying, you know, we didn't know if it was going to be the case or not. Yeah. But yeah, I agree that like there seemed to be a little bit of a mixed concept of what they wanted to achieve with the film. But I think certainly if you see those sort of subtext or those elements in it, it's something if you know, if it's it kind of works for you, that's a great way of looking at it, I think.
Yeah, yeah, no. In the email, parts of it I had to delete.
Bit of a bad blood vibe.
Yeah, apparently there's something bad there. It's been going on 30 years.
The old Hollywood mogul producer, you know. I'm sure they've got a lot
of... He was pretty much one of the last of the...
Last of the breed. So.
Last of the breed, so to speak. Look, this is fantastic. A Nightmare on Ligon Street. And, of course, it's on 29th of November. Starts at 11:30 p.m.
Yep.
So you're suggesting people come along as comfortable as possible?
We're you know, happily to accommodate people with pillows, pyjamas, just kind of come along, chill out. We're all going to be... I'll be there for the entire night.
Wow,
hosting,
you're
going to
stay the whole night.
I've hosted a marathon in previous years, and it's, you know, things go along, and then you get to that 4 a.m. zone, things get
hit
a little bit
strange.
We'll
hit the screen,
maybe not throw stuff at the screen, but if you want to throw stuff at me, feel free to.
Any tips for people who haven't been to a marathon? What are the best things to do?
You know, we'll probably be giving out some energy drinks or some coffee vouchers. Use that wisely. It's like a sodium.
You don't want anybody, you know, passing out.
Exactly. So trying to, you know, keeping that coffee voucher or that energy drink to an exact time frame where you can utilize its full potential is probably the key. But also just kind of have fun. You know, don't take it too seriously. If your eyes kind of fall a little bit or your head starts to nod, just kind of go with it. See where it comes out.
I've fallen asleep in a cinema before.
It happens. It's not a crime against humanity, but you know, it is a Nightmare on Elm Street, so you've got to be careful, you may not wake up.
Now, if there is somebody who is sitting near you, is asleep and snoring, what's the right etiquette?
You know,
do you poke them? Do you put a Freddy glove over their mouth? Or?
There could be. We'll have some cinema ninjas which will be able to come up and
stop
sort of like
snoring,
discreetly.
Because that's what I'm worried about. People snoring through it. You know,
I think a subtle tap on the shoulder could also work. Or if it's, you know, or if it's Freddy, just a quite little like a hand gesture across the top of the forehead might be
enough.
Exactly.
So it runs 11:30 p.m. kicks off.
Yeah,
what time do you think it will actually be over?
We're going to have some nice little kind of refresher breaks after each film for about 15 minutes. People can go stretch their legs, or maybe 15 to 10 minutes.
Cold water on the face.
Cold water on the face. A little bit of, you know, fresh air in some respects.
Yeah.
I reckon we're going to get out of there around 10 hours later. 10 to 11 hours later.
So approximately...
What is that? That's 11 a.m.?
11 a.m.?
Yeah, I reckon it'll be about
11 a.m.
Yeah.
All right, so be prepared to crawl out.
Yeah.
Or somersault out or whatever. You might be, by that stage, you might be hitting your next wave. And
one of the other key elements, I forgot to mention, is bring sunglasses for the morning after.
Yeah,
you
can't have sunglasses.
You don't want to, your retinas will be completely and utterly in cinema world.
Yes, so, that's true. Yeah, it's been a while since I've done that. Yeah. But that'll be intriguing because Sci-Fi and Scream is going to be there, and we're going to do something after the event that involves probably a lot of coffee, bacon and eggs or something, but also, sort of a debrief, a rundown. We'll have to chat to you about that.
You have to have a complete debrief of the Freddy Uber as it is. So.
Now, out of the 1 to one to six. Mm-hmm. Is six still the favourite? Is that your favourite, would you
say?
No,
I'd say my look, you can't go past number one for its sheer element of
it's
absolute...
Scary. It's scary.
It's
scary.
It's creepy. It's grimy. It really works. But my personal favourite is Nightmare on Elm Street 3. The Dream Warriors with the Dokken theme song, and it's just a really good time capsule of
those headbands and that
headbands.
You know,
it's like the Goonies. It's the Goonies with Freddy Krueger, so you really can't go past that. And also, it has the return of Heather Langenkamp and John Saxon.
Right.
So
John Saxon, awesome.
Really great film and really cool soundtrack. And you know, 4, I have quite a guilty pleasure for as well, because it's directed by Rene Harlan, who would go on to direct stuff like One Kiss Goodnight and all those other Cutthroat Island. Obviously, it's pretty bad taste, but someone does get killed in a waterbed in it. So if you needed a better picture of the late 1980s, early 1990s, the waterbed really is something that encapsulates the ethos of that era, I think.
Waterbed and chrome.
Exactly.
And mullets and big hair. Yep. There's a lot of big hair. And I think number 4 is equivalent would be Aliens to me. They're very similar directors, James Cameron and Rennie. Yep. I think there's something there going on.
You know, if you want to go to sleep during part 5, I won't blame anybody.
Why don't you like...
I think I don't like part 5. I think part 5 is where it all kind of goes out the window. But we have some interesting trivia before part 5 to give away on the night may contextualise exactly why part 5 is my least favourite of the Nightmare on Elm Street series. But luckily, that'll be on around 5 a.m. So you're going to have a lot of fun to get through before then.
Oh, cool. Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds great. Look, for those who can keep their eyes open and stay awake, and otherwise you don't want to be snatched while you're dozing, go along to A Nightmare on Ligon Street only at the Nova. And it's it's coming up very soon, the 29th of November. It starts at 11:30 p.m. And does it ever finish? Well, around about 11 o'clock the next morning.
Roughly. Yeah.
But there'll be lots of things to keep you awake.
It'll be a fun-filled Freddy Friday.
Because Zach's responsible for your soul.
I am. And, you know, Robert Englund knows where I live.
Does he?
I have interviewed Robert Englund, actually. So,
oh, have you? Yeah, cool. Excellent. So he does know.
I have a legacy to uphold.
That's frightening. Excellent. Thank you very much for talking about The Nightmare.
Thanks, Zach.
Coming soon. Thanks, Zach.
Real life is scarier than anything we can dream of, and we dream such frightening things. Sci-fi and Squeam, be afraid, be very afraid, on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.